Just gonna start out with a little story. A pastor's little girl was very naughty. Pastor's girls can do that once in a while. And she was very defiant. Her parents talked it over and believed that it was best to disallow her from going to the church picnic that was coming up in a number of weeks. And the parents informed her of the consequences of her behavior. She begged, she pleaded, she apologized, but to no avail. It didn't work. And they said, sorry, you can't go to the picnic. The day of the picnic finally arrived, and her parents recognized that her behavior had changed so much in the past number of weeks that they decided to have mercy on her and to grace her and to allow her to come to the picnic. And they brought her aside and they said, we're going to allow you to go to the picnic. We're thankful so much for the change in attitude that you've had over the last number of weeks. But instead of overjoyed in that moment, the little girl was quite distraught, and she started to get sad and even tear up. And they said, why are you not happy? She replied, well, ever since you told me that I couldn't go to the picnic, I've been praying for rain to ruin it. I can go, but now it's going to rain. The faith of a child, hey, believes that it's going to rain because she's praying for rain. Some of us have that kind of faith. Many of us don't. Is it just that simple? Is it just as simple as praying for something and it's going to happen? Today we're going to talk about prayer and how important that it should be for us as a church. It's interesting, if you think back to the story of Jesus after the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and he came in and he came into the temple grounds and overturned the tables of the money changers because there was theft going on, there was unfair things happening, there was injustice happening in that moment. He said something really interesting. He said, my house will be called a house of prayer. He didn't say a house of worship. He didn't say a house of service. He didn't say a house of relationships, although all of those things would definitely be part of what that house is all about. He said, my house will be called a house of prayer. Really fascinating that Jesus said this. Of all the words that he could have chosen, and that tells me that prayer should be one of the pillars of who we are as a church, not just as a collective church, but as individuals who make up the church as well. We're going to talk about prayer this morning. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the book of Acts. Once again, we've been working our way through this amazing book. Acts chapter 2, we're going to read that same passage that we've been reading for a number of weeks now. Acts chapter 2. And if you're new to our gathering, what we get people to do is to stand as we read the word of the Lord. I'm going to ask you to stand. And we do so out of respect for the word, and I believe it heightens our ears. Heightens our hearing as we read this God's book, God's message to us today. Acts 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have not just the opportunity to hold it in our hands, not just the opportunity to read it, but the opportunity to focus in on it today as your people. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence here. You wrote this word, you wrote this book, and you have the ability, Lord, to make it make sense to us and to help us to apply it to our lives so that we leave here in a transformed, a different sort of way. And I pray, Lord, that you would do that in our hearts and minds today. Guide me, Lord. Give me the words to say. And I pray that you would be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Please have a seat. Just going to read verse 42 once again. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship. We've talked about both of those aspects, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. I've emphasized the word devoted for a number of weeks now. The church was devoted to these things. They did not dabble in worship. They did not dabble in relationships. They did not dabble in the Word of God. They did not dabble in remembering the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, what they call breaking bread, and neither did they dabble in prayer. The ancient Greek word for devoted is found in other places in the Bible. Listen to how it's used in Mark 3, verse 9. It says, because of the crowd, he, meaning Jesus, told his disciples to have a small boat ready. This is the key word here. To have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him. The word ready there is basically the same word that's used here for the word devoted in Acts chapter 2. It's just a slight variation on the word in the ancient Greek. It's the boat was ready for Jesus. It was set apart for Jesus. Jesus says, set it apart for me so that I can use it for something special. And the church was devoted. It was set apart for all of these things, including prayer. They were consecrated, set apart for prayer. As you read through the book of Acts, it's difficult to find a chapter, especially in the first half of the book, that does not have the word pray or prayer in it. This is a church that prayed. And when they prayed, big things happened. Big things. In chapter 1, the Holy Spirit came. Miracles happened. 3,000 people were added to their number that day. An amazing miracle. Other places, people were healed. Young men who fell out of windows came back to life. You name it, it happened in the book of Acts when people prayed. In chapter 4, they prayed for courage against the persecution that they were experiencing. They didn't pray that God would end the persecution. They prayed for courage against the persecution. And the room that they were in shook. Isn't that an amazing thing to think about, a room shaking? Wouldn't that be amazing today? The room shaking when we prayed. In Jim Cimbala's book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, which is an amazing little read, Jim tells a story about how a few decades ago, an artist by the name of Steve Green, many of you know Steve Green back from the 80s, he was a well-known singer back in the 80s, and he came to their church one day to sing. And before the worship gathering, they were downstairs and they were praying. Jim and Steve Green and a few of the elders were together praying. And as they were praying, the room that they were in began to shake. And Steve Green's eyes got this big. And he said, did what happened, did what I think just happened happen? And they started chuckling. He said, well, actually a subway runs underneath the church. And it's probably the subway that's shaking the building. But the thing is, it could have happened. It happened back in Acts chapter 2, and it could happen today as well, because the Holy Spirit is just as alive, just as active, and just as powerful today. Amen? He's still at work in our world. The point is that the first century was set apart and devoted to prayer. And when they prayed, amazing things happened. First of all, what is prayer? What is prayer? Put simply, and some people might think this definition is a little bit too simple, but this is mine, and it's simple. Prayer is a conversation with God. That's what prayer really is. That's a conversation with the Lord. We often think of prayer as me asking God for something, because that's often what our prayers end up looking. And though that's part of it, prayer is meant to be much more than that. And this might be new information for you, but we can actually be God's friend. Isn't that amazing to think about? We can be friends with the King of the universe. Through the forgiveness that Jesus Christ offers us, and then and pours out on us, we can actually be in right relationship with God. We can be friends with Him. We have access to His throne room where He makes stuff happen. I want you to think about the most important person that you know. Some of us know some celebrities. Some of us know some musicians or athletes or politicians or professional people. Just think about the most famous person that you know. And in a way, we're kind of tickled. We're thankful that we get to know this person, are we not? That's nothing compared to the fact that we get to know God. We get to be friends with the King of the universe. And what does it take to make a good friendship? It takes time together. That's what it takes for a good relationship. That's why we talk so much about spending time reading the Bible, which is God's word. God speaks to us through His word. That's why we need to be reading it and listening to His voice speaking to us through His word. But God also speaks to our minds and our hearts as well. I believe it's when we get in these quiet places and we listen for His voice. The question is never, does God speak? The question is, are we listening? Are we listening to Him speak? So if we don't read His word and if we don't listen to His voice, then our relationship with Him is pretty one-sided. I believe that all of us probably have a relationship or two where it's a bit of a one-sided relationship. The person does all the talking. They're the taker and we're the giver. Anyone have a relationship like that? Pastors have a few like that. And you know something? It's really unfortunate because relationships are meant to be reciprocal in nature. And I think that we often treat God like that. We're takers and he's the giver. And he actually wants us to give back to him in a way, if you know what I mean, to actually listen for his voice as well, as he is so good at speaking to us. I'd like to answer a few common questions about prayer this morning, and then we're going to finish off with a story that Jesus tells about prayer as well. First question I want to answer is, how should I pray? And the two words I want you to focus in on are freely and structured. Freely and structured. How should I pray? First, the word freely. Conversations are not normally scripted. Am I right? They're not normally. They're really kind of spontaneous. You're going to go out in the foyer afterwards, and you're going to have a conversation. It was not scripted. You're freely having that conversation. You're not reading it off a cue card. If you were, it would not appropriately reflect what your heart is, probably. The other day, I was surfing through channels on TV, and the show The Goldbergs was on it. I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand if you watch it, because you probably shouldn't. And I probably won't watch it again either. But I was surfing through, and I thought, oh, The Goldbergs. I wonder what this show is like. So I'm watching it, and it was an interesting little episode, because Mrs. Goldberg got it in her mind that she wanted to renew her vows with her husband. And if you know Mr. Goldberg, that's not really his thing. But she said, I want you to write your vows right from the heart. Just write them. And she kept pestering him and bugging him to get his vows done. And he's like, fine, I'll get them done. Finally, she's able to squeak the vows out of him. And this is what he told her. He says, I bet we've been together for a million years. And I bet we'll be together for a million more. It's like I started breathing on the night we kissed. And I can't remember what I ever did before. What would we do, baby, without us? What would we do, baby, without us? Well, there ain't no nothing we can't love each other through. What would we do, baby, without us? Sha-la-la-la. He probably shouldn't have put the sha-la-la-la part in there. Mrs. Goldberg was touched until she realized it was the theme song from Family Ties, an 80s sitcom. And Mr. Goldberg was busted in that moment. And she recognized that it was not actually his words, and it really didn't reflect what his heart was to her. Although he loved her, it wasn't perfectly reflective of what was going on there. God wants us to be free in our prayers, in our conversations with him. At the same time, I believe that structured prayers are very healthy and appropriate at times. Some churches have prayer books. I believe that's amazing. We have the Lord's Prayer that we can recite. The Psalms are filled, basically the Psalms are prayers to God. And sometimes when you read the Psalms, you recognize that you can identify with the psalmist so well, and you can actually read that psalm out and recognize that it's perfectly reflecting what your heart is to God. And I believe that those structured prayers are so amazing in certain times of our lives. In fact, I would say sometimes I've been through... You get through in these tough moments in life. You know how I think it's in Romans or is it Hebrews, it says that we have groanings that words cannot express, and we just groan. And I find sometimes that structured prayers are very appropriate in those moments because I don't have words. And I believe that God's okay with that. So prayers should be free, but they should also be structured at times, I believe, just as the Spirit leads us. Second question is, with whom should I pray? A couple other words to focus in on. Alone and with others. Alone and with others. With whom should I pray? First, alone. Remember, our relationship with God is a personal relationship. In the end, when we stand before God and he judges us, it will be just us and Jesus. And ultimately, in this life, we need to have a personal relationship with God, and it is possible too. We cannot ride on the coattails of anyone else in regards to our faith. So thus, our prayers, we need to be praying when we're alone, just us and God. Yet at the same time, there's something really special and powerful about praying with other people. Matthew chapter 18, Jesus says this. This is from the Message. Take this most seriously. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven. A no on earth is a no in heaven. When two of you get together on anything at all on earth and make a prayer of it, my Father in heaven goes into action. Isn't that an amazing little passage? Now, granted, this passage is talking primarily about accountability with one another and when you bring an offense before your brother or sister, how to go about it. But at the end of it all, I believe that this applies to prayer as well. When two or three of you come together and you agree on something, then it's as good as done. And we just have to wait for God to bring it about through the course of his actions. There's something really special and powerful about praying with one another. I encourage you to attend the prayer gathering Mondays at 7 o'clock. There's an amazing group that come together and they pour out just amazing requests before our Lord. Pray with your life group. Pray in your families. Pray with friends. Pray with your spouse. Pray with your kids. I believe that God hears our prayers, and it's really important for us to be praying together. Not to mention that when we pray together, it's a really special thing that God binds our hearts together in a really incredible way. There's something spiritual going on there. And I believe it's something we should be doing more and more as a church. Next question, what emotion should I be? A couple other words for you to focus in on: desperate and delighted and everything in between. That's the emotions that we should have when we pray. First of all, when we're delighted. We often don't think, I think, to praise God when good things are going on, but I believe that that's one of the best times for us to talk to God and thank him for the amazing things that are going on in our life, the amazing things that he accomplished in us and around us as well. Inevitably, though, our prayers are most poignant, I believe, during times of desperation. I know my prayers are. One time, a rabbi, a priest, and an imam sat discussing the best possible posture for prayer, as Jim was talking about earlier. And while they were talking, there was a telephone repairman working on some equipment just close by, and he could hear the rabbi, the imam, and the priest talking. The rabbi said, "Kneeling is definitely the best way to pray." The priest said, "No, I get the best results when I'm standing with my arms outstretched to heaven." And the imam said, "No, you're both wrong. You have to lie down. That's the best posture for prayer." And the repairman could hardly contain himself, and he said, "Hey, fellows, the best praying I ever did was when I was hanging upside down from a telephone pole." We can relate to that, can't we? I believe that our hearts connect to our prayers the most when we are so desperate and we realize that we can do nothing about the situation that we are in. God can accomplish more in 1 second than I can in 100 years. Why don't we pray more? And I believe that we need to pray when we're delighted and when we're desperate and everything in between. Keep praying. Jim Cimbala says Charles Spurgeon once said that when a jeweler shows his best diamonds, he sets them against a black velvet backdrop. The contrast of the jewels against the dark velvet brings out the luster of the jewels. In the same way, Cimbala says, God does his most stunning work when things seem hopeless. When things are hopeless, what else can we do but pray and leave it in God's hands, who is on his throne and can do amazing things? Amen? How often should I pray? The fourth question. I want you to focus on a few words: spontaneous, scheduled, and always. Got that? Let's go this way. Spontaneous, scheduled, and always. First, scheduled. I believe it's healthy for us to set aside times every day to pray. You know, when our lives get busy and we need to kind of schedule a date night with our spouse. Marcy and I, we go out to Superstore on Friday nights and go shopping for groceries. That's what we do. And we see a few of you people out there too. You have bad dates like we do. Not saying who they are. Anyways. But you need to schedule in prayer time with the Lord. And I believe that whether it's in the morning or the evening or in the midday or several times a day, I believe it's really healthy to schedule in time with God. To say, God, I'm going to schedule in 5 minutes or 15 minutes or half an hour with you, and I'm going to just lift these things up before you and pray that you would work miracles in my midst. Spontaneous. Sometimes during our day, though, a thought comes to mind or a person comes to mind. And I believe that God does that because he wants us to be praying for things and for people. So when those thoughts come to mind, instead of us just ruminating on it, I think what we should be doing is praying about it. When we're having a conversation with someone, you know, it's really classic for us to say, "Man, I'm sorry, brother, that you're going through that. I'll be praying for you." And I'm guilty of this as well. I believe what God wants us to do is not just say, "I'll be praying for you," but to stop and pray for them right then and there. Back about a month ago, Marcy and I were sick. And we were in a superstore, date night, and we were getting some groceries, and while we were there, we ran into some friends, and they said, "Hey, how you doing?" And we're like, "We're not doing that well. We're kind of sick." And they said, "Let's pray for you." So right then and there, aisle number 6, they like just put their hands on us and they prayed for us. As they're praying for us, I can hear carts going by and wondering, what are they thinking? And you know what? It doesn't matter what they're thinking, because God wants us to pray for things right then, right there. There's a need, and let's pray for it. Let's pray for miracles to happen. Scheduled, spontaneous, and always. I believe that our lives can be lived in such a way that we are in constant prayer. Brother Lawrence wrote a book centuries ago called Practicing the Presence of God. And I believe that whether we're doing dishes, whether we're cleaning up, whether we're working, whether we're driving on the road or wherever we are, I believe that our lives are meant to be lived in a constant conversation with God. He's our best friend and he walks with us always. And he wants us to be conversing with him and to be listening for his voice. As we conclude, I want to focus on a story that Jesus told on prayer. Our Tuesday evening class on spiritual disciplines focused on this story a few weeks ago. I'm going to get you to turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. An amazing story on prayer. Luke chapter 18. Verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable. Parable is a story with a lesson or point. A parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord, Jesus, said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man, meaning Jesus, comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" Amazing little story. So first of all, we need to recognize that the widow is asking for something that's worthy of asking for. She was wronged and she's asking for justice. When we pray, we need to remember that we need to be asking for things that reflect the heart of God. We need to evaluate that if it's something that truly we should be asking for. If it is, then how long should we ask for it according to this story? How long should we keep knocking on heaven's door? As long as it takes. Just keep knocking. My uncle, he grew up in not a great home, but a pretty good home. A home that talked about God. A home that took him to church and to Sunday school. And in his early young adult years, my uncle walked away from the Lord. And to this day, though there's been some glimmers of a spiritual nature in his life, for the most part, he has not returned back to the Lord. How long has our family been praying for him? 50 years. 50 years. If my grandma didn't have dementia, she'd still be praying for him. How long will we pray for him? As long as we need to. Keep believing that God has a plan for his life and that he will repent of his life and just choose to walk on God's path. Does God want my uncle to follow him? Absolutely. So we knock on God's door with confidence that in his time and in his way, he will do it. God bless you all for your persistent prayers. Some of you have been praying for your kids for decades. Keep praying for them. Keep believing. Keep knocking on heaven's door. Because God is not like the unjust, uncaring judge. Please hear that today. Psalm 103, verses 8 and 11 says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger, abounding in love. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him." That is what God is like. And my prayer is that we will approach God's throne with confidence, with faith. knowing that God is powerful and loving and can accomplish more than we possibly can imagine. Let's pray together. I'm just going to give you a moment or two to talk to God yourself first and foremost, and then I'll lead you in prayer. Let's pray silently for a few moments. Lord, we thank you that you are compassionate and caring. We thank you that we have, as your children, free access to the throne of God. What an amazing gift. We thank you that we have the opportunity to be friends with the King of the universe, who can accomplish anything that he wants within his character. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for making it possible for us to be your friends. Thank you for showing the power of God through your death, through your resurrection, for the amazing miracles that you performed when you walked this planet. Thank you for showing your power through the early church. And we as a church, Lord, we desire for those things to happen in our midst as well. Not so that we can look great, but so that you can look great. So that people would be drawn to you, drawn to your heart, drawn to a place of repentance, seeking your forgiveness, seeking a purpose that is greater than the one they're living for right now. God, we thank you that you're a God who answers prayers. You have answered so many over the years. You've answered some just in recent days. We're so grateful that you are attentive to our needs. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you just continue this work in us and around us and through us as well. Make us a church, Lord, where prayer is one of the pillars of who we are, one of our key values, Lord, so that above and beyond anything else, we will always be thinking to be communicating with you, allowing you to speak to us, listening to your voice and obeying it, and ultimately, Lord, just leaving these things in your hands, knowing, Lord, that you can accomplish so much more than we can. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for all these things. Pray them now in Jesus' amazing name. Amen. Amen. Music team, please come. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate that. Just a couple things to mention. The tickets for the fidgets are available. Also, charitable giving receipts are available, and the prayer journals are available in the foyer as well. Also, that Bible study for Philip, February the 19th, is there for you to sign up for as well. So please don't forget that. I'd like this room to be devoted, set apart, consecrated for prayer just here in a moment's time or so. So I'm just going to ask for no music or anything like that. And if you're going to stick around in this room and visit, then just please do so in whispers. Just use your small room voice if possible. And if anyone wants to come forward and to be prayed for, if you want to just sit in your seat and to pray, if you want to grab a friend to pray together, then please do so, because we need to be a house of prayer. Amen? Amen. Our benediction, a compilation of what we've learned today, plus Numbers chapter 6. I encourage you to extend your hands if you so choose. Now may God, who is compassionate and gracious, may he bless you and may he keep you. May God, who is slow to anger and abounding in love, may he make his face to shine upon you and may he be gracious to you. May God, who speaks and answers prayers, may he turn his face towards you and may he give you his peace. Don't forget about the hymn sing this afternoon as well at 3:30. Have a great day.